my Lord is on.
Probably said that thus saith the Lord.
Move is on.
The move is on. We gotta move when he moves.
I can hear the
rowing in the mulberry tree.
And I know the move is on.
Amen. He said that's thus saith the Lord. It's on for you and me. But we gotta move as he moved. If they hadn't watched that pillar of fire and moved when it moved, that light had to move when the light. We gotta move as the light moves. We gotta move as the word unfolds into our hearts and lives, right? Amen. You ready for the word tonight? And just remember now, let's see, Wade and June will be gone. Wade will be with Brother Tim Humes, Brother Bob, and Brother Luis will be down in Florida. One talking for the other one and doing that. So remember these this weekend coming up. And I'll remember then the fellowship meeting will be the third Saturday of this month. So if you want to go be at Brother Longoria's, let us know and all, okay? All right. Let's just sing Open the Eyes of My Heart as we hear the word of the Lord. Huh?
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Amen.
I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
You tonight. Couldn't be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So, I'm not going to sing. God bless y'all. Well, surprise. So, it's my turn tonight. So, just pray the Lord bless us tonight. Help me get out of the way. Amen. So, tonight, if you have your Bibles, we're going to look in Psalms 138, and then we're going to go to the book of Hosea in chapter 6. And appreciate the Lord and His blessings on us. And I feel like I've been on a merry-go-round. I feel like I just keep going. And like sometimes you want this thing to stop or slow down a little bit. But appreciate all the prayers. I know I've definitely failed them and definitely needed them. And it's nice to know when people, even sometimes it's people out of the blue don't even know. You know, there was a saying, it was on a sign, and it said, if we could see in that other realm when we pray what takes place, mm-hmm. Sure. We'd understand the scripture that says pray yeah. without ceasing because we would never want to cease. You know, we think that, you know, we're on our own, our little sphere of the world. Certain things are going on, just yeah. our day-to-day lives or whatever. But, you know, it's nice to have somebody come by and tell you, hey, thinking about you, praying for you. Yeah. And, you know, and sometimes people don't even know what you're going through, what right. you're dealing with. But, you know, it's nice to have somebody, you know, just gives you a little glimpse, you know, God's mindful of you and all the things that you're going through. So we're just going to pray, and then we'll just read the scripture here. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another time, Lord, to be in your house. And, Lord, we just pray that you just come and, Lord, help us get out of the way. And, Lord, just anoint the speaker and the hearer tonight, Lord Jesus. Lord, just come and move in a special way in our midst and help us, Lord. And, Lord, we're just so thankful for all your blessings on us, Lord. Lord, how many times, Lord, we don't realize all that you've blessed us with. And Lord, how you've come on the scene, and we just thank you for it, Lord. And, Lord, for each need that's represented tonight, Lord, each one that's spoken, unspoken, Lord. Lord, you know what we have need of, Lord, and there's people that need prayer, and they sometimes, Lord, we forget who they are or what the need is, Lord, but you know what the needs are, Lord. We just want to be mindful of them, Lord, that you just come on the scene. And, Lord, you're bright around the world, Lord, those that are listening in by the internet, Lord Jesus, I pray that you bless them. Lord, help them. And, Lord, we just commit all these things to you. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. And Psalms 138, and it says, verse 7 says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Amen. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Amen. And then in the book of Hosea, chapter 6, very familiar reading, it says, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. Right. After 2 days he will revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning. He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Amen. God bless you tonight. You may be seated. I want to speak on
revival.
Webster defines revival as an act or instance of reviving, the state of being revived, such as renewed attention or interest in something. A new presentation or publication of something old, a period of renewed religious interest, an often highly emotional evangelistic meeting or series of meetings, restoration of force, validity, or effect, amen, such as to a contract. And then to continue on, revive, which is the state of being revived. Revive means to restore to consciousness or life, to restore from a depressed, inactive, or unused state, to bring back, or to renew in the mind or memory. And that's what I want to look at tonight, where it says to renew in the mind, because Romans 12:2 says, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And just laying a little bit of background here. This is from Questions and Answers, 1957. And Brother Branham's talking about Israel. And he says, did you know that Jewish flag is the oldest flag in the world? And it's been laying dormant for 2,000 years, about 2,500 years. A Jewish flag, that six-point star of David, never flowed for 2,500 years since the carrying away of Babylon. And now, because the Roman Empire took them over and the Messiah come and they rejected it and they was scattered to the four winds on the earth. But did you know on May the 6th, 1946, that flag come back over Jerusalem again? Did you know on May the 7th, 1946, the angel of the Lord appeared to me the next day up here and sent me into the world to bring forth a revival the very next morning when that flag raised in Jerusalem as the going down of the sun that afternoon. The angel of the Lord appeared here in the United States at the same time. When you see the fig tree and the rest of the trees putting forth. Now, Brother Branham continues on. And he says, how many remembers? This is continuation of questions and answers. Brother Brown says, how many remembers the star going down here, hanging down here at the Ohio River many years ago when he said, here's a picture of it here yet. When he come down and said, your message will go forth as a forerunner for the second coming, just like John went forth as a forerunner for the first coming. And look around the world has swept a revival. Tens of thousands times thousands and thousands in a great revival. And he said all the legalists and all the different ones around all over the world in the big churches, you know, said the Billy Day, Sunday days are over. But when they seen the church begin to revive, the common people, they had to save their face. Charles Fuller would have taken the place, but he was too old. And they went with Billy Graham, and God took Billy Graham, or the Methodist, or the Baptist church did, and they did all, and they all got around him. And Billy Graham's not half the preacher that Brother Neville is. So as far as being a preacher, no, not by no means. But what is it? They had to do it. It's organism and everything right around it, gathering around. Billy says the same thing. See, they had to do it, and it had to be done to fulfill the word of God. They didn't have the spirit to rally around, so they had to take the word to rally around, so they did. And Billy's a word preacher and a dandy, and they rallied around so that put all the cold formals in their rally. And the supernatural being this divine healing and powers and working and so forth by the miracles of God put this, the church, the raptured bride here, that's got the oil in her lamp, put her in a revival, see? And the cold formal church had its revival. And here's Israel turning with their revival. So we're looking at a revival. And, you know, many times we talk about the bride's revival, but I wanted to show that everybody's got a revival.
Right.
Everybody's having their own revival. And the revival is for the different groups, whatever group you're in, because the word has come to each group. And as we were reading here in the scripture, you know, God promised the word to be revealed and there was going to be a revival take place. And he was speaking of a prophecy, but you know, each group has their own revival. But you know, the thing is, you know, why do we have, as Brother Matthew was speaking Sunday, why do we have the things that are taking place? Why? Because the word has to be fulfilled.
Right. Sure.
And so there's a word to everybody. You know, the thing is people act like they're not, that they don't understand what's going on. But you know what? It doesn't matter where you at or what you're doing, you're going to fulfill a part of the word.
Right.
You're going to fulfill a part of the word for your day. Because there was a day, because just like he was speaking, see, when the Holy Ghost came, there was a message coming in the end time that was going to be fulfilled, because all of the prophecies in the scripture were speaking of the word coming to Israel and Israel coming back, that fig tree is going to blossom again, and all those going to take place. But see, that was speaking, well, because it was spoke of that God was, had not turned away from Israel, that he was coming back to bring the word back to them. But there was a bride in the last day that was going to receive a word. He was coming back to speak to an end time group, that he was going to make known those things that were spoken of in the scripture.
Right.
But the thing is just like the reason I wanted to read that scripture or the read the quote from Brother Branham, because he talks about there was a group that was on fire that had the Holy Ghost, that had the oil in their lamp that was given for them for that day. That was the end time bride that had to receive a revival. But there was still a group out there that was just formal and dead and powerless and lifeless. But there was a word for their day, and that's going to be their revival. But because we see that, as Brother Branham was speaking of, we see in the end time that we know what was going to take place is the World Council of Churches, and they're all going to gather together. The tares are coming together. Why? Because that's their fulfillment of their word. That's the word that God spoke, that because they're not going to receive the true word. They're not going to receive the life of Jesus Christ. They're not going to receive the word for their hour, because God come and he spoke to them. But you know what? It's not because God didn't make it known to them. It's because they rejected it. And you know what? It's the same for you and I. God has given us the word, but it's our opportunity. It's our right to reject it or accept it. God has given us that opportunity, given us that privilege. And so it has to be, are you under the revival of this message? Or are you just going to be as a revival of just, of them just rallying around and just being lifeless and powerless? And many people, you know, it's not just the denominations, but it's the denominational spirit that's inside the message today. Why? Because people, if you don't have the place to stand, if you don't have a sure foundation to stand on, if you don't have a revelation of the word of where you're supposed to stand, then how are you supposed to go anywhere? Why? Because there's so many that are, that they walk in darkness. They're so afraid. They don't know what to do. And the problem is they don't know how to release the hold on themselves and just allow the Holy Spirit to get a hold of them and just turn it over to God and allow God to do a work in their life. Why? Because there's so many people, as Brother Bram said, it was all cold and formal. It's all intellectual. And there's so many people that is all that's wrapped up in this message is cold, formal intellectualism. And you know, the thing is you see people, and you know, they want to study the message and listen to the message. But you know, the thing is there's so much of it that people have had to lay aside because they can't walk the same way that they're walking today and hold to the word.
Right.
But see, that's what you have to take, is to receive all the word.
Right.
Take all that God has for us in this hour. And you know, because it's so sad that you see all the things that have taken place and all the things that God is trying to do and make himself known. And I believe he did through a prophet that he made himself and opened the word. But the thing is you've got to come before God and ask and pray for revelation.
Right. Exactly.
And you know, the thing is how do you pray for revelation? You know, because the one thing that you've got to do is you've got to understand, I don't know it. You've got to come to a place. It's just like when you come to a place of salvation, you've got to realize that you're lost.
Yep.
You got to come to a place that you've got, that you can't do anything for yourself, and somebody's got to do it for you.
Right. Amen.
Well, because you know what? We can't save ourselves. We can't do anything for ourselves. Why? Because we are so lost and alienated from God and separated from God. God has to do something in our lives.
Amen.
You've got to come to a place and realize, you know, that you're a sinner and God is the one that come to save you.
Amen.
You didn't come seeking God. He come to seek you, and he come to save you, and he come to bring you to his life, to bring you to eternal life. And if he's coming to bring us that, then you know, we got to understand it takes God to do that. And you know, the thing is we've got to come to a place that just like when Jeremiah went to the potter's house and he said, you know, he saw that clay being put on the wheel and the wheel began to spin and the potter had total control over the clay and he didn't have to, you know, the potter wasn't worried about the clay. Why? Because he knew what he was going to do. He had it under control. He had what he had in his mind. And the thing is the potter had to do the work, but the clay had to stay there.
Right.
And you know, it's the same way with you and I. We wonder how God's going to do something in our lives. Well, you know what? If we just stay on the wheel and you know, and we allow him to do the work and we quit trying to figure things out on our own and worry about things, then you know what? He can do the work in our lives.
Right.
But we have so many people today, they're so concerned about other things. And you know, and I'm just going to say it because, you know, you see these people and they live in a world of fear. It's a world of fear that people live in. Why? Because they're so uncertain about things and they don't understand things. And you know what? Jesus is the answer to all your questions. But you know, the thing is people, they get to this one place, but they can't understand that it takes a ministry. You know, you see these people, and y'all probably know what I'm talking about, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it. There's people that in this world and are in and around this message, and they want to listen, and they want Brother Branham to be the one that's going to lead them, and they can't realize that it's going to take flesh and blood. It's going to take a fivefold ministry. It's going to take men with faults and failures and human frailty, and God's going to speak through them, and He's going to speak the word of redemption to them. But the problem is they cannot trust that God can do that. And you know what? Brother Randall said, God, men has always, always looked back and said, praise God for what He done in the past. And he said, what God's going to do in the future, but they're missing what God's doing right now. God, why? Because right now is God is moving. Right now is God's revival on the bride. The bride is having a revival, but people don't realize that. Why? Because, you know what? It's not a show. It's not known to the public. If it doesn't take, if the Holy Ghost doesn't show it to you, then you know what? You'll not see it. But you know what? There's so many people. And you know, and another case is, you know, it takes each individual person having an experience on their own, a personal experience. They've got to have a personal revelation for themselves, because if you don't, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter if you were related to Brother Branham or not. It doesn't really matter who your pastor is. It doesn't matter who your mom and daddy are. It don't matter what you've done in this world and all the great things. The thing is if you've not had a revelation, if you've not had a birth of your own to put you in the body so Jesus Christ can come and live in you and lead and guide you, it doesn't really matter. Let me tell you, the world's full of religious people. This message is full of religious people. I mean, it's overflowing with religion. But the problem is there's no life. The thing is, it takes people to come on the scene. And, you know, because, you know, if we could see, like that little saying, if we could see what's taking place, then you know what? It would drive us more to that. You know, we would have a desperation to get to that. As Brother Brown said, if we could see what's going on right here today and see the angels of God here ministering, you know, they're ascending and descending to you to bring you the word, to for God to use flesh and blood to come to you and open your eyes and speak to you. Amen. Then you know what? Then we would have more time for it. It would be a higher priority. Why? Because many times, and see, that's what Satan has come to do. He's come to take up all your time, to get into your mind and hinder you. And the problem is you've got to overcome that. You've got to fight that. Because if you're not fighting that, then the devil's winning. But see, it takes a everyday battle. Every day you get up, but if you realize, and you know, you have to go back as like David, you know, David had to encourage himself in the Lord. Why? Because sometimes that's the only person that's around is you. And you know what? You got to dig in the Word for yourself and find a holding place and get your own revival. And all of a sudden, you know what? If the word comes to you, then you know what? If nobody else is going through, then you know what? There's a revival taking place in you. Amen. You know, that's the reason that when Daniel went to the window, and you know, they said, you can't pray. You can't pray to your God. You got to pray and do our form and our religious program. You know, Daniel said he didn't matter. He had his own plan. And you know what? The next day, he done exactly the same thing he always done.
Right.
He didn't change his plan. He didn't change the way he done everything.
Right.
You know, he didn't sneak around and say, well, they won't find me up here on top of the house or in the basement or someplace.
Right.
You know, he went to the window and let everybody know.
Right. Amen.
Why? Because you know what? If something stirs inside of you, then it's got to be manifested. Just like that Samaritan woman. You know, Brother Ram said that, you know, Jesus come and was speaking to her one day, and you know what? Through her testimony, said the whole city had a revival.
Right.
And that's what it takes. And here in Hosea chapter 6, it says, after 2 days, he will revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. It says, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning. So after you are revived, then you know what? You must continue on to know the Lord. Because people, you know, as Brother Brandon was saying, you know, the Pentecostals, they had their revival, but they didn't realize there's a further manifestation of the Word. There was a furtherance of the Word,
right.
And you stop.
Right.
And they stop. But he said, you know, now you must continue on because, you know what, there is a greater thing to continue on.
Right. Right.
He said, then he shall raise up and we shall live in his sight. And we'll get into that a little bit later, but we shall know and follow to know the Lord. So there's a continuation that we must continue to follow in the Lord. Because to be revived is to renew in the mind, in the memory, go back and look, because one of the definitions was to go back to the things that were old. To go back to those things that were spoken of. As Peter said, he said, stir up your pure mind in a way of remembrance. These things that you've heard, they've been stirred up. But now, you know, there's many times that we hear and we see these things, but you know, all of a sudden it takes something, it takes the Holy Ghost to quicken it.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I wish I could almost write a book sometimes of the things that I have read of the prophet, of reading them, and it takes a ministry. It took a minister behind the pulpit to speak on the exact same thing, and all of a sudden, it's like, did I read that?
Yeah.
I've had to go back and read it again.
Right.
You know, years ago, Brother Dale preached on the book of Romans chapter 8. And you know, and I tell everybody, ever since that time that Brother Dale preached on that, I said, I can never read Romans 8 the same way anymore. Why? Because there was an opening of the Word that I never see it the same way.
Right.
Why? Because I can remember what it was like to read it when it was closed. It was veiled. There was nothing. I mean, I was reading the same words.
Right.
But all of a sudden, now it's open.
Glory.
I remember years ago, Brother Harold Hildebrandt preached. I saw a video of him preaching at Brother Donnie's. And he preached on the masterpiece. Just got finished reading that message. I had just read the book. And Brother Hildebrandt's preaching on that. And I stopped and I had to say, is that in there?
Yeah.
And so I went and got the book. And I'm reading the same thing. And you know what? Some of it I had actually highlighted. There was things I was reading. And you know what? All of a sudden, Brother Hildebrandt was bringing it out. And it was like, man, it's a brand new book.
Right.
Why? Because all of a sudden, it takes the Holy Ghost.
Right.
But see, the problem is people can't put their faith in a man,
right.
But you're not going to put your faith in a man.
Right.
Why? Because it's not me.
Right.
It's not Brother Dale. It's not Brother Wade. It's not Brother Bob. It's not Brother Luis.
Exactly.
It's not any other brother.
Right.
Why? Because it's a gift of God that's in our lives that we can use, but it takes you to operate the gift.
Right.
But the thing is, it's the Holy Ghost that does the work.
Right.
I tell you many times, I don't know about these other brothers, but, you know, people ask, how do you get a sermon? Well, you know what? I don't have any certain way of getting a sermon.
Yeah, right.
Now, some brothers, they can say, hey, I've got a sermon and I'll get to it in 3, 5, 7 weeks, whatever, 10 months from now, whatever.
Yeah.
I got stuff. I'm really, it's all scattered. I mean, some of y'all brothers may know this. I study on something, I'll put it up, and I won't look at it for months. And I was like, I get this thought, and I start working on it, and then it only comes so far, and then it's just like it just stops. So I just put it on the shelf. I was like, well, I'll come back to that. And then sometimes I come to church and people say, boy, that was so good. I really enjoyed that, brother. And it's like, yeah, that's been sitting on the shelf for 8 months, half finished.
Right.
But it, you know, it's just like you catch a thought, you put it together, some things, and then it just, and at other times, how do you get a sermon? You get a sermon the day of Wednesday night.
Right.
You can study, you can pray, and God won't give you nothing. You don't get nothing. Right. And all of a sudden, just about on the way to church, you get, everything comes together.
Right.
And you know, it does, you try, you can do anything. And you know what? And people think it's easy. It's not. And sometimes, you know what? It takes the leading of the Lord, and you got to trust the Lord for Him to give you something to say. Because you know what? There is so, I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm just talking tonight. I'm speaking from my heart. Let me tell you, there's been plenty of times I got in the truck, car to come to church on Wednesday night. And I tell you what, I think, boy, if there's somebody else to preach, I'd say amen.
Yeah.
Because you know what? I'd turn it over to somebody else.
Oh, yeah.
It is, why? Because you come up here and you think, man, this is going to flop. And you think, I don't know, what am I going to do tonight? And all of a sudden you get up here, and next thing you know, the Lord starts moving. And all of a sudden you think, you know what? Because it's not me.
Right.
And you know what? It's the same way with you. You get to the place in your life when you get when you're back against the wall, or you run out of your ideas or your plans or whatever else. You think, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, you know what? Then that's when God can take over. Because you get to the point where you're allowing Him to move. Because you get to the place that you realize it's not you. You get yourselves out of the way, and then God can speak. Because I tell you, I know, and I tell people, you know, people think it's kind of funny, but you get up here sometimes and you don't have anything in your notes, and all of a sudden the Lord gives you something to say, and you start saying it, and you surprise yourself what comes out of your mouth. And you think, boy, that was good. And you realize, you know what, it's not you, it's God. God's the one that does the speaking. Well, Jesus told us, He said, not to take a thought of what you're going to say. Right. Why? Because He said in that hour, He said, the Lord will give you, your Father will give you what has to be said, what needs to be said. And so that's the same way it is when you come to the house of God.
Right.
Because you know what? It doesn't have to be in my notes. It doesn't have to be something I studied on. You know, the thing is we just get in one mind and in one accord. If we come in and we get everything out of the way, then you know what? We come and sit in heavenly places. Then you know what? God will come and speak to us. And the problem is do we come, have we gathered in heavenly places tonight? Have you come in expecting to receive from God? Because, you know, I just come up here and say, Lord, I don't want to waste the people's time. I want the people to be blessed. But, you know, the thing is if I have to get out of the way, Lord, do whatever it takes, because I want to see the people blessed. I want to see the people prosper in the Word. I want somebody to get an overcoming tonight. I want somebody to get deliverance tonight. Whatever it is that you have need of. And, you know, the first time I ever went and preached outside of my home church, I told the people when I got up to preach, it was a youth meeting. I got up to preach, and it was at Brother Frank Prater's church. And I told the people, I said, I'm as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. I mean, I was sweating bullets. And I got up, but you know what? There was a sister in the back, and she told me after church, she said, brother, she said, the Lord come and healed me while you were preaching. And so, you know, that's what it takes. It takes the Word, but it takes God to do the Word. It's not us. Because, you know, the thing is there's too many people that want everybody to look at me. It's me and mine and I. No, it's none of that. It's God. And many times people have got their eye on the ministry, and it's not that we're, it's not in the eyes of the ministry, it's in the eyes of God that we're supposed to be looking and see that God works through the ministry.
Glory. Amen.
You know, People want to put their pastor on a pedestal. You know what? That is a disgrace to God and Jesus Christ and the Word to put your pastor on a pedestal. Because you know what? There ain't no shepherd in the world trying to shepherd sheep stand on top of a rock. You ain't never seen a shepherd up on the mountain and all the sheep down there. No, he lived, Brother Ram said, he lives with the sheep. Right. He sleeps with the sheep. He goes through everything with the sheep. Right. He's there with the sheep. Yeah. Well, you know what? You can't see God move in your life when all you got is you've got your pastor in between you and God. Right. And you know what? You can't get anywhere if you've got Brother Branham between you and God. If you've got, all you can see is Brother Branham, and you know, you got Brother Branham on this pedestal. Yep. Well, you know what? We honor Brother Branham. We honor the ministry that comes through. But you know what? You know what? It would break Brother Branham's heart. I think Brother Branham would be very disappointed, be heartbroken to see the people that have turned and have their eyes on him and not on Jesus Christ. He said, you're not feeding on the seventh angel messenger. He said, but you're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. Amen. That's who he was trying to point the people to. Amen. He wants you to feed on Christ. Amen. He said, you become the word as you receive the word. Well, the thing is what takes place is we become Christ. Right. Brother Branham said, she is him. Amen. Then we become the word.
Amen. Right.
Not some two-ness, not some other idea, not something else, but we become Him. We are the manifestation of the Word in this hour, which is Jesus Christ. This is from 1 John chapter 1. The scripture says, John 1:1 says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Amen. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Amen. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, in Him is no darkness at all. So see, the thing is John's writing about what he has seen and the things that he, because you know, he actually saw Jesus, he actually handled Jesus, he slept with Jesus, he went through all these things, but you know what? He's speaking of a greater thing that took place. Why? Because you know what? You're not going to fellowship with Jesus in the flesh as John did. You're not going to see him those things, but he's wanting you to see that the life that was in Jesus Christ came into him because it was spoken of and it became into him, and he said, these are the things that we have handled. It's not that we handled a flesh, but we've seen the Word of God. Why? Because we've tasted of the good heavenly gifts, because we've received the Word. Amen. We received Jesus not as a flesh man, but as the Word. And that's how we're going to have fellowship with Jesus, is through the Word. Amen. And you know what? Because it becomes so real to us. And then all of a sudden, then you realize, you know what? Then you have brothers and sisters that are Jesus Christ made manifest. See, this is the word that we've handled. This is the word that we've received. This is the fellowship that we have. He said that God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Brother Bram says, continuing on, Brother Bram says, unpardonable sin. He said, you know, revival means to revive that which is that's already converted. See? Yeah. Them that's already converts. See, it's a revival means to revive, to bring back, to make life again. And the church, sometimes we get just a little slack. But then he goes on and talking about them. Said, but we're looking for one of those old time like we used to have a long time ago. So sometimes, you know, it's to revive what you already have, what you've already heard, what you've handled. That's what is to be revived. That's the revival that's taking place.
Amen.
It's to hold on to the things that you've heard. And then he said, you know, because we get a little slack.
Yep.
Why? Because sometimes because we allow things to happen in our lives where it becomes a little common. Yep. Things happen to us where we don't realize we don't have the fellowship that we had with him before. Why? Because we allow the things of life, the cares of life get in the way. The battles that we face. And those things get in our way, but you know what? That's the one God wants us to come to these things. This is from The Impersonation of Christianity, 1957. Brother Bram says, now, if God meant for us to run his church by denominations or by creeds, then only thing we need is the intelligence of a man. The smarter the man, better the church. But that was not God's program. God's program was for the Holy Ghost to run the church. The Holy Ghost was given for the church, and we can't have two faculties running the church at the same time. If man runs it, the Holy Ghost goes out. If the Holy Ghost runs it, usually the man goes out. So it's just one or the other. So we must come to this conclusion that God intends the Holy Spirit to run the church. Now, I don't mean just the Spirit gets up and preaches, because the Holy Spirit sets people in the church for certain things. And then he continues on. He said, and he's talking about changing things and, you know, the things that we do. He said, it doesn't mean that the church needs a facelifting. He said, that isn't what the church needs. It needs the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It needs the power of the living God. A revival doesn't mean to go out and get new members. A revival means to revive that what you've already got. So that's what we have to have, is we have to have a revival of what's been given to us. And you know, many people in the scripture, you know, all through the scripture, you will see where people actually had the word and listened to the word and held the word and spoke of the word, and they failed to realize what was taking place in their hour. But see, the thing is, if you hold on to what he said, because it's just like the two going to on the road to Emmaus. You know, they held the word, and it was them talking about Jesus to Jesus, and they didn't even realize who he was. He said, why are y'all so sad? And you know, they started talking about, are you a stranger and you don't know these things that's taking place, and talking about the ministry of Jesus and everything, and tell him all about how we thought he was going to be the one to take over and all these great things and all the great things that Jesus done and all the things. And then Jesus began to expand to him the scripture.
Right.
What? He took them back to the Old Testament and he started to expound the scripture. Oh,
right.
Full soul of heart. He said, here's what the scripture said. Didn't Jesus fulfill the one that you're speaking of? Didn't he fulfill these scriptures? Isn't this what he said he was going to do? Didn't the scriptures say that he had to come and he would be the one that would die and then he would rise again? All the things that he would do. And here they are expounding to him, and they're so sad, and they're like, well, I guess so. I don't know. I don't know what they were doing, because here they are speaking of the word, and the word's being spoke to them. And you know what? They're not catching that the word is being fulfilled. And he's even telling them, listen, this is what was going to take place. Here it is, the third day. And Jesus told you, he said, tear down this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up again. And here it is, the third day. And you know what? If you actually believed, actually caught what was going on, you wouldn't be walking down the road with your head hung down. You'd be at the tomb looking. You'd be looking to see why. Because, and the scripture tells us, you know, that the women, on the first day of the week, the women went to the tomb. And here they are taking their spices. Why? Because they're going to prepare the body. Here's their mind. And the Bible tells us that in their mind, there's like, who's going to move the tomb, the stone from the tomb? Why? Because the stone was still there. Well, who's going to move it so we can do this? Well, you know what? Jesus told them, hey, I'm not going to be here that long. Don't make no long plans. I'm not going to be here. I'm just going to be here for a short time to fulfill the word. And then I'm coming up. I'm coming out. I'm not going to be there. But here they are wondering who's going to move the stone. And all of a sudden, they were astonished when they got there and realized the stone had already been moved.
Right.
Why? Because he was not there.
Right.
And then the angels came and told him, listen, he told you that he was raised. He said, he's not here, but he's risen. Just like he told you he was going to do. You know what? It took a supernatural happening, and then all of a sudden they ran back to tell the rest of them, and you know what? The rest of them didn't believe him.
Yeah, right.
Peter and John's like, no, that can't be. Well, he's the one that told you what was going to take place.
Right.
I mean, you lived with him, you fished with him, all those different things, and all these things, and you can't believe that he can do this one thing?
Yeah, yeah.
You saw where he stood before the Pharisees and the Sadducees and tell them to search the scriptures and take my life and the things that my ministry and the things I've done and prove me where I've not fulfilled the scripture. When Peter was walking there in the ship and, you know, they fished all night and they didn't catch anything. And here's Jesus standing on the shore and told them, he said, have you caught anything? He said, no. He said, well, just cast out into the deep. And he said, you'll receive. And he said, Lord, he said, we've fished all night. We've not caught anything.
Right.
Brother Branham said, the one thing that Peter knew was how to fish.
Right.
He'd spent his whole entire life on the sea.
Right.
That's all he had ever done. His whole entire life was fish. And he's like, you know, we know all the tricks of the trade. We know what we're doing out here. But you know what? Jesus tells him to go out. And he said, no, nevertheless, Lord, he said, at thy word, I'll go out.
Right.
And we'll do what you said.
Right.
And as soon as they went out, he said, then they had more than they could bring in.
Right.
And here's the same one that's seen all these things that took place.
Right.
When he cut off the high priest's ear and the Lord touched him, all the things that Peter had seen in his life, and even when before he died, he told him, he said, Satan wants to shift you like wheat. And all the things that he told him in his life, trying to explain to him about his ministry, his life, everything. And then all of a sudden, here's Peter and he's trying to talk to him and trying to explain. Well, he didn't believe it either. When there were things that Peter got to see that nobody else got to see. When he went up on the mountain to pray, when he was praying in the garden, he took Peter, James, and John. He didn't take everybody. And here he is speaking to Peter, and Peter didn't believe him. Peter's the one that denied him. Even after Jesus told him, said, listen, you'll deny me. Oh, I can't believe that. No, I wouldn't, Lord. We'll be right there with you. And he kept telling them, listen, don't look at these things. There's a temporary setback in your mind of what's going to take place. But you know what? It's to fulfill the scripture.
Amen.
And all of a sudden, here they run back to the tomb. And all of a sudden, the tomb is empty. And then they come back. And then here they are expounding. You know, he's risen. Where, you know, look,
right.
This is exactly what happened, like he said.
Right.
And Luke chapter 24 tells us, and they remembered his words. After he spent all that time trying to tell him what was going to take place, then all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, he did say that, didn't he?
Yeah.
And the same way with us, we've heard the word, but you know what? It takes the Holy Ghost to quicken the word to us. And all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, he did say that, didn't he? So many times people pray for, they pray for a healing or financial needs, or deliverance, or whatever they have need of, and they're praying, and all of a sudden the Lord comes on the scene and delivers them, and you know what? They're shocked that God done it.
Yeah.
Well, he said, prove me. He said, try me. He said, knock, ask, seek.
Right.
And then if all of a sudden you do exactly what he said do, then they get shocked. Well, the Lord healed me. Well, you know what? We should thank God for that, but you know what? We should claim it and just walk on because it shouldn't take us by surprise that it happens. If the scripture, as he said, if your child asked for stone, for bread or a fish or something, he said, would you give them a stone or a snake or something? He said, if your child comes and has a need, he said, would you not give it to them?
Amen.
He said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts, how much more will your holy, heavenly Father give unto you?
Right.
Well, if you have a need, then why are we so shocked when God meets our needs?
Right.
Why? Because that's the scripture.
Right.
He's doing exactly what he said he would do.
Right.
I guarantee you go back there and ask my boys, you know, if they want something, they want some, Daddy. Daddy? 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 Just like a woman with the unjust judge. Drove them crazy. But you know what? She got what she wanted. Well, you know, how many of your children do the same thing? If you need something, they'll almost walk in your footsteps. They'll almost get under your feet. And they'll stay right there. Daddy, 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 daddy. You can't hardly turn around. Sometimes you can't hardly think without them being right there. Daddy, 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 daddy. Well, you know what? I've never seen my boys in the whole time that they, I got a 14-year-old and a 9-year-old. You know, I've never seen one of them when I give them something, they go, wow. Well, how many of your kids, when you ask for something, that you give them something, that they look shocked? What's the same thing with God? If you have a need, and he said he would supply your needs.
Right.
We don't have to look shocked, be surprised that God meets our needs. Why? Because he said he would. That time's kind of getting away from us. But see, that's what God wants us to do. God wants us to trust him. God wants us to put our every thought, everything on him, because he's the one that's going to take care of you. If we just come on and just allow him to do what he has. Because, you know, the scripture tells us, you know, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered in the heart of man what God has in store for us. But you know what? If we trust God, you know, God will give us the very best.
Yes.
You know why? Because he gave us the very best in the beginning.
That's right. Amen.
The very best that he could do for us was give us eternal life.
Amen.
And if he gave us eternal life, then you know what? Then everything else, because everything else, like he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be added unto you.
Amen.
Because all you have to do is commit it to God, and God will come on the scene and meet your every need and give you what you have need of.
Amen.
Sometimes it may not be what we want at the time, but you know, many times we go back and look in our lives and we think, thank God we didn't get what we were asking for. Why? Because God knew what we needed, and God knew how to keep us out of situations that we realized that we didn't need to be in.
Amen.
See, God's so mindful of us that, you know, sometimes it's just like trying to raise children. Many times, you know, they don't see the long run. They don't see the big picture.
Right.
But you have to, because you know what? Everybody's like, well, you need to be their friend. You need to be their buddy. Well, you know what? Sometimes you can't be their friend and their buddy.
Amen. Right.
Sometimes you got to be the parent.
Right.
Sometimes you got to be the meanie.
Yeah, yeah.
Or as in my house, I'm the heavy. What are y'all laughing about? That's right. That's what, well, somebody's got to be the one to be the enforcer.
That's right.
Well, you know, that's what we have, the Holy Ghost. He's the one that the word spoken. The Holy Ghost is given to be the enforcer of the word. He's come on the scene to make all these things take place. And you know, and it takes those, because there's many people that have in the scripture, you know, we see that those that have held on to the word, but you know, it takes a quickening of that word. Because because you know, they hold on to it. Many times we read in the scripture where Brother Ram is talking about Mary and Joseph, and you know, they're speaking of Isaiah and the different scriptures, and it's like, well, you know what? One of these days, this scripture is going to be fulfilled.
Right.
You know, they were sitting there reading, you know, because A virgin shall conceive. And we see how these things are going to take place. Speaking of the Messiah coming and all these things, it's like, well, you know, we're looking for that to take place.
Right.
But you know, one day there was an angel that came and spoke to Mary and told her, you know what? You're the one that's going to fulfill this scripture. Right. It's not just a happening or something that's going to take place. No, you're the very one. You're the vessel that's going to make this take place. Right. God has come to you and showed favor to you that you're going to fulfill this scripture. Right. And you know, it's the same way with you and I. God has given us favor for us to fulfill the scripture.
Right.
Why? Because just like in the scripture, and you know, one of the things that I was looking at was, you know, many times when we look at these things and in the scripture, you know, there's times that, you know, we look and lots of times we kind of put women down, and you know, people always want to talk about women, but you know, if you look in the scripture, there's certain things that women done that men didn't do. You know, just like Mary and Joseph, you know, Mary had to take the word that Gabriel spoke to her. And you know what? Joseph didn't believe it. Here's Mary's taking this word and said, be it unto me according to thy word. Well, you know what? Joseph had problems with that.
Right.
Here's the word coming to to Elizabeth and speaking. And you know what? She received the word that was coming to her. And you know what? Zacharias had a problem with it.
Right.
And you know what? God calls Zacharias to be a mute, but Elizabeth could speak the word.
Yeah.
Why? Because she received it.
Yeah, right.
And then when Mary come and spoke to Elizabeth, then they spoke the word, and then she received it, and a baby that hadn't moved in all this in 6 months or whatever, all of a sudden,
right,
he jumped in the womb.
Yeah, right.
He became, you know, because all of a sudden, because at the name of Jesus, he moved.
Right.
When she received this salutation of the word of God. And there's many other ones in the scripture that you look at that it was women that came. You know, it was women that went to the grave of Jesus and saw that it was open, and it went to tell the rest of them. And many times we see there's other ones in the scripture where it talks about women are the ones that actually received the word and went to tell the rest of them, and the men had a problem with it.
Right.
You know, one of the things they were talking about in the scripture I thought was kind of interesting is, you know, there's no place in the scripture where a woman give Jesus a hard time.
Yeah.
It was always men and preachers.
Yeah, right.
You know, even in the simplest things that Jesus told the women, you know what, they could accept the word.
Right.
And you know, why? Because it speaks of our day.
Amen.
You know, I was thinking about what Brother Matthew was talking about. Everywhere in the scripture, you see a man, then you see a woman. You see a man, you see a woman. Well, you know, that's what takes place. There was a man, Jesus was speaking. Well, there was a bride. There was the women that were speaking that took the word.
Right,
that was speaking of our day.
Right,
and so it's our day. The word is being spoken our day. And,
yeah,
and you know, it doesn't take somebody great or big. It just takes a willing vessel.
Right. Right.
God just needs a willing vessel.
Right.
He just needs somebody that's going to take him at his word.
Amen.
And then, you know, because this is the revival.
Amen. Glory.
If you're hearing the word today, if it doesn't revive you, if it doesn't stir you, then you know what? There's something wrong with you.
Right. Exactly.
And you know, the thing is, it's not just stirring you that you're here in the church and stirring you, but when it's your daily life, there has to be a change in your daily life. If it's not stirring you, if it's not leading you, if it's not
right,
making an overcoming a change in your life, then you know what? There's something wrong.
Exactly.
Well, because it takes, because this is the day, this is the time of it taking place.
Amen.
Of the manifestation of the word.
That's right.
God wants us to receive the word.
Right.
And he's given it to us. And now all we have to do is take it and go with it.
Right.
And move forward. And find out what God wants us to do.
Glory.
And just come and say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Lord, just yield ourselves, just like the potter and having control of the clay.
Right.
Just, Lord, mold us into what you'd have us to be.
Amen.
And this is from the Invisible Union, and there's several quotes, and I'm not going to get into all of them, but from paragraph 54, Brother Branham says, "Now, but you notice when the people begin to try to align with the Word, there comes a fresh message from the Word of God right straight to the people, and they catch that message and line up every time. It's just God's. We have that." And he says, "We have family. Every family in here is accustomed to that. Sometimes everything will run fine for you for years. Then all at once you'll hit a spell where we say it many times in the South here, when it rains, it pours and everything goes wrong. You're going through a nighttime. Then there's a day break. Then a nighttime. Everything runs in continuity."
That's right.
So I tell you a little, when I first read that the other night, when it says, when you're going through, I thought it said a nightmare. And it says, when it rains, it pours, and everything goes wrong, and you're going through a nightmare. Then I had to read it, oh, it's nighttime. I thought it was a nightmare, because sometimes that's what it feels like. When it rains, it pours, it feels like you're going through a nightmare. But you know, the thing is, you know, even when you look at this and everything in your life, you know what? It goes in continuity. You know, I wanted to read that because, you know, we have ups and downs, and sometimes we feel like, it feels like the downs are longer than the ups. But you know what? It's God leading us, and still you have those ups and downs. But you know what? God, if you're lining up with the Word, then the Word's going to come to you, and He's going to give you exactly what you have need of. And He's going to lead you. Because because this is the hour in which God has come to do this. You know, many people are blinded by the things that, you know, they don't see what God's doing, and they don't have spiritual eyesight to see what God is doing in this hour. But you know what? God wants us to see what He has for us. And you know, there's some other things I'm not going to get into tonight, but you know, you start to look and see, you know, even when you see the Word going forth, and you know, Brother Ram talks about the former and the latter rain. And you know, when he talks about that the former and the latter rain would come, you know, we see those things here. Here is Brother Ram said that the Holy Ghost was the latter rain that would come. And then he said, then the former rain and the latter rain would come to prove that the latter rain was correct. And see the thing, because you know, here is the Word that's come in our day, but you know, we see what took place in the past and what God has done, and He's been faithful all the way through in everything that He's done. And you know what? Every age had a revival. Everything had their ups and downs, and each one of them had their problems, but you know what? He was faithful in bringing the revival and bringing the people to their place. And you know what? It doesn't matter. See, you go through valleys and you go through hard times, and you know what? You think you're on island all by yourself, and you think whatever, you know, but you know what? God is faithful. He's always led everybody through, and it doesn't matter what you're going through. You just hold on to God, because you'll go through those ups and those downs, but you know what? He's still going to bring the former rain and the latter rain, and He's going to quicken the Word that you hold on to. We must get in the Word and hold on to the Word. You know, the Word is being sown. But you know, it's up to us to receive that Word, to hold on to that Word. And then He will quicken that Word. He will bring it to pass. He will bring it to fruition. Amen. God bless you. Now let's stand on how the musicians come. But God is faithful to us. Whatever you have need of, He's brought us into a revival.
Glory. Amen.
To renew you. You say, "Lord, I need another one." Well, you know what? He's here to do it again.
Amen.
Because you know what? If He's done it one time, He's going to do it again.
Amen.
Why? Because you know what? He's going to continue to revive this bride, bring you to the place that you need to be every single time.
Amen.
I just thank the Lord for the Word.
Glory.
Because you know what? It takes us getting ourselves out of the way and letting Him do what he wants to do with us. You know, you have so many people that, you know, they wish they knew what to do, and you try to point them in the right direction. It's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. You know, I was reading a sign, this little story, and had this great musician that came and They were telling him, "Oh, we just love your music. You're so wonderful. You do a great job. You know, we're just so fascinated with all your music." And it's like, "Well, how did you ever get to this place? You must just have a gift from God that you got here." And he's like, you know, it takes practice.
Yeah.
Long hours of practice. No, it must be, you must be blessed above everybody else to get to these places. And he's like, no, it's practice.
Right.
And it's like, no. And they just kept making all, they were just swooning over him. He's like, it's practice. You know, I've give up a lot of things for practice.
Yep. Yeah.
And I've spent a lot of time practicing.
Right.
And everybody thinks, no, it's just some gift of God. And, you know, it just falls on top of you. You know, no, you know what? It takes practice.
Right.
You know, and it's just like that in the Word of God.
Amen.
You know, people think that other people, you know, they're just so blessed that God put them up someplace. It's like, no, they read their Bible and prayed.
Yeah, right.
And they read their Bible and prayed.
Right.
And they read their Bible and prayed.
Right.
And they studied the Word and they read their Bible and prayed and they read their Bible and prayed and they read their Bible and prayed. And you know what? And people just think, well, it's so amazing that God come and spoke to these people and showed them things.
Right.
It's like, well, you know what? There's a lot of people that forwent a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, they gave up a lot of things to spend time to pray
and
to seek God and to listen. You know, because they put the time into it.
Right.
And then people think, well, you know, I feel, you know, like, well, why doesn't God do this for me? Well, you know what? Mm-hmm. What have you give up?
Right.
What have you sacrificed? And, you know, many times, because people talk about having a prayer life and people don't realize prayer is communion.
Right.
And the problem is they don't have communion.
Right.
You know, I work with a guy and, you know, you have to get his attention sometimes to tell him something. Because you know what? He's a motor mouth. I mean, that's, yeah, you know, pardon the word, but I mean, that's what he is. He just runs all the time, just constantly.
Yeah.
Talking about stuff that, you know, nobody cares.
Yeah.
But he's got to talk, and then you got to try to catch his attention.
Yeah.
Hey, shh, and then you can talk to him.
Right.
And then he'll be doing something wrong, and he'll be over there, and he'll say, well, I can't find this. I don't know what the problem is. I don't know what the problem is. And it's like, hey, hold on a second. Let me tell you what the problem is. You're not listening to me, so I can tell you what the problem is. And lots of times the Lord is the same way. The Lord's going,
right.
Yeah. Hey, I'm trying to get your attention.
Right.
Hold on.
Right.
Like that comedian said that time, God comes along and he tries to talk to us and he tries to talk to us and he can't, and he hits us with a 2x4 and then we start singing, he touched me. Oh, he touched me.
Yeah.
Why? Because he's trying to get our attention.
Right.
But the problem is we don't have communion.
Right.
It's, you know, if we went in and say, Lord, I'm not going to sit right here and I'm going to wait for you to say something. I'm going to give you time to say something.
Yeah.
But you know what? We just want to come talk to the Lord and tell him our problems.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, okay, we're done. And we don't ever sit and say, Lord, you speak to me. Lord, what do you have that you want to tell me? You know, many times we just go and we sit and say, Lord, I love you. And I appreciate you and I thank you for all that you've done for me and all that you've given me. But you know, I want you to come speak to me. And you just sit there. So, you know, I was listening to Brother Branham. He said, you know, the best time to pray is like 3 or 4 in the morning. He said, when all the devils and everything calmed down somewhere else, cooled off, not moving. He said, then you get up in the morning, you can pray. And people, you know, I hear a lot of people talk about, you know, they say, you know, I wake up early in the morning sometimes. 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, 2:30, I'm awake. And, you know, I can't go to sleep. And, you know, it's always, well, did you talk to the Lord? Well, no. You know, I tossed and turned. Like, well, did you talk to the Lord? No, I got up, took some medicine. I went and got me something to drink. I done this or that. It's like, well, did you talk to the Lord? No. It's like, well, maybe the reason that the Lord's waking you up, you're waking up at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, maybe that's the time the Lord realized he can talk to you.
Yeah. Right.
Maybe the Lord's trying to talk to you. You know, I was thinking about Samuel. You know, he thought Eli was calling the whole time.
Right.
He kept waking up and he kept hearing the voice of God speaking to him.
Right.
And, you know, he kept going to Eli and he said, here am I. But you know, Eli was spiritual and called on, and he told him, he said, the next time, answer, Lord, here am I. Here's your servant. And you know, we could do that too.
Glory.
If the Lord wakes you up sometime, you know, you wake up in the morning sometimes,
right,
and you're laying there. You know, just say, Lord, what would you have me to know?
Right.
You know, I've been woken up before in the early in the morning sometimes, and somebody come on my heart.
Yeah.
And it's time to pray for somebody.
Right. Exactly right.
And you know, because there's something going on in somebody's life that God is wanting you to pray on their behalf.
Amen.
So you know, God wants to speak to us. You know, people say, oh, I want to hear from God. Well, you know what? God wants to talk to you more than you
Glory.
Want to hear from Him. And let's just take a little moment of silence.
Yeah.
A little sweet hour of prayer.
Yeah.
You know, I think sometimes we could all miss a little sleep to talk to the Lord. Have Him speak to us. Because you know what? You know, we all need prayer. And we all need to... And you know, many times everybody wants to... when we go to pray, we want to pray for our needs. It's all about us. As I say, it's all about me. You know what? Sometimes what you need to do if you want to answer from God is you don't need to be saying me. Sometimes you need to sit down and start praying for other people.
Right.
I think about Brother Darrell Ward that time when he messed his back up and he couldn't sleep and everything like that. And he told everybody, he said, I can't sleep. He said, I'm at home. I can't travel. He said, I can't preach. But he said, there's one thing I can do. He said, I can pray.
Right.
And Brother Darrell said he was trying to sit in a chair and holding on to the handrails, trying to keep his back from moving. And, you know, he'd lay in the floor and he couldn't get comfortable. He couldn't do nothing. He was miserable. But, you know, he told people just started sending his prayer, their prayer requests to Brother Darrell. And he said he was praying all the time.
Yeah.
And he said, because it's the only thing I could do. He said, I couldn't work. He said, I couldn't do nothing. But he said, I can pray.
Glory.
And you know what? He didn't get to the point where he was praying for himself. He said he was praying for everybody else.
Right.
And he said, it was early one morning, he said he was sitting in there and he was praying. He said the Holy Spirit come in the room.
Right.
And touched him.
Glory.
And that's what we need to think of sometimes.
Right.
We need to be mindful of other people.
Right. Yeah.
And God can come on the scene and,
right,
and meet our needs.
Glory.
Amen. God bless you, brother.
Draw me near, Lord. I am dying.
Amen.
I am dying, Lord. I am dying.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord. It's done. It's finished. All I got to do now is just wait and let you come take care of it. You know, and he'll come right on the scene. Thy precious pleading sigh, the soft love that I need up till I rest. Anybody that have a need, just believe. See. You see, ask in faith. In other words, ask believing. Lord, you told me. You ever just talk to him? Your brother said we pray. We pray to him a lot, you know, but you ever just talk to the Lord? Well, that's what I'm doing, praying. No, I mean just simply talk to him. You want to try that sometimes. Just talk to him. Just say, Lord, here am I. Amen. Right. Yeah. If you got anything you want to tell me, just tell me. I'm here waiting on you. Right. And just wait on me. Right. And just see if the Lord will, you know, he might speak back. Because he's waiting on you and I.
Amen.
Yeah? Go ahead, brother. Anybody else that just have a need for safety, take it to the Lord and pray. In His arms today, shield, thou will find a soul. What a friend. and grief to bear. Anybody else that just have a need, come and let's see. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we about it. The power of prayer makes the devil go to haywire when people start praying, especially when they are so down and out, maybe and feeling so bad and all, and then but yet they're still praying. And like our brother was saying, then praying for somebody else. Pray for other people. Well, they don't pray for me. Well, I didn't say that. I said pray for other people. Just commit it all to Him. Make sure you tell her brother how much you appreciate the message tonight. And remember these. It'll be gone for the weekend now. So just take, the Lord will take care of them and all, and give them a safe journey. All right? Any other announcements? Nothing? Okay. Father, we thank You tonight for the message that we've heard, and we believe You. And we thank You. And we know for a surety one thing. That You hear us because You answer our prayers and You deal with us and lead us and direct us. And we thank You. Just bless and take care of everybody. Give everybody a safe journey home tonight, Lord. And just let Your love and grace be there. These that are sick, Lord, and all this old coughing in my body and everything, we just commit it to You. Amen. And believe in You that by Your stripes I'm healed, Father. And we believe You and we thank You. Guide us, each and every one, and keep us all in Jesus' name. You dismissed.
What can wash away?